Good evening, one and all. Yes, the start of another week, another show. Springtime, of course, it is now, officially. Though the clocks for the rest of the world, of course, don't go forward till this weekend coming up, which is always confusing. Now, of course, America changed from everybody else, but I'm not going to go into that because you start me on Mother's Day again and everything like that. But anyway, I am here and so is my guest. Now, one of the great things for doing a show this long, I mean, long as in number of years I've been doing it, not long as in how long it takes, is you can catch up with authors, see how they've been doing since you last spoke to them. And it's a while since I spoke to my guest today, 2013. Yeah, I know, I'm that old. It's 2013 it was when we last spoke. And she's been getting on pretty good since we last spoke. Also, I better add that she is on the show, I remembered, and I've brought my own chocolate because she's not very good at sharing things like that. So I have my own chocolate bar on the table in front of me, just in case. Anyway, I better introduce her, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Jennifer Wilk. Hi, Jennifer. How are you doing?
Hello, I am fine. How are you?
I was right about the chocolate, wasn't I?
You are very right. I will share almost anything else, but not my chocolate.
See, I remember these things. 'Cause the thing about it as well, I remember you were on with Seduction of Esther,
Yes.
which when I look on your site doesn't even get a mention. So either it's changed the name or you're trying to forget about it.
No, I loved writing that book, but when we first spoke back in 2013, I was a brand new author and I was lucky enough to be picked up by this little tiny press.
Yep.
And they were fabulous, but they were very small and they did eventually go under.
Right.
So the books that they published are no longer available.
Ah, right.
However, if you go on Amazon, you can find them, but people are selling them for approximately $800, and even I wouldn't buy them for that much money.
Yeah, I saw
So
that with
it's
I saw
not they're
that with
not legitimate.
Right. Well, I saw that with one of mine, and I thought, my God, this is it. It's become a collector's item.
I'm pretty confident even my mother wouldn't buy that book from me at
Oh no,
$900.
because I remember. I mean, you are a romance writer, but there is a thread, if I remember rightly, of Judaism, Jewish faith within your stories. Is that how you still write?
Yes. I have actually, I kind of go back and forth. I have a selection of books where I write what I call Jewish romance, which is really just contemporary romance, but the characters are Jewish. So instead of getting married in a church, they'll get married in a synagogue. Instead of a Sunday dinner, they'll have a Friday night Shabbat dinner. I just find it adds a little bit of texture and depth. And so some of my books have Jewish characters, and then I still have other books that, including the one that is going to be coming out on Monday, that is just mainstream romance and really doesn't have any element of any religion in it at all.
Okay, because I say sort of since we last met, and you've now been nominated for this and won this, and you've got what, seven, eight books out now or something?
On Monday it will be number 11.
Wow, see, it just shows you how it goes, people out there. You see, you start off with one, you come on the show, and the next moment you're producing all these things.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
So, I mean, I remember seeing Skin Deep. I remember seeing that, whether that was one you were going to write or not, but I remember seeing that before. But you've got others, In the Moment, Learning to Love. There's a few, wasn't it? But what's it? Addicted to
Yeah, that one is number
Love.
nine.
Yeah. Addicted to Love. 5 Minutes to Love. Yes, we're talking romance here, people, as you might have guessed from the title. Yeah. How is it? Have you found it easy? Well, let's get back, because you were one of the many people who we have on the show who get these stories from when you were very little. The characters talked to you, and you sort of made your stories up because the characters were there in your head. Is that
Yes.
still how it works?
Yes, it does. I have over the years, I have tried very hard to write outlines and plan everything that I wanted to write, and it's been a miserable experience, and it doesn't work for me. I'm very jealous of the people who can write from an outline, but I have to kind of go by the seat of my pants and whatever happens to pop into my head. So, yes, characters usually pop into my head and start talking. Mm-hmm. I used to think I was completely going insane, and then I found out that no other writers actually experienced this, and I'm not quite as insane as I thought I was. So that was very reassuring. So I either get the character talking to me, or I'll start visualizing a scene somewhere throughout the book that just resonates with me, and I'll just start writing it, and then from there plot the rest of the book.
See. Yeah, you think it's strange, but I would tell you that 90% of the authors I have on this show would agree with you. You know, no matter how they plot it out, the characters lead them down different paths. They minor characters or major roles. Some even demand their own books. You know, and
absolutely.
It's like people say, and I argue with people, you know, in various chat groups and stuff like that. So, oh, writer, well, how do you get around writer's block? It's nothing. It's not to do with writer's blocks. It's the characters don't want to talk to you that day. Perhaps you upset them because you didn't listen to what they were telling you when the last time they were trying to tell you the story. I mean, one time I would have said that it's like these stories come from a parallel universe and we are just a conduit who writes them down in this thing. But it's not. I mean, as you say, it happens when you're asleep. It happens if you're out walking the dog. I remember I used to write a lot of stuff when I was going for runs. You know, your subconscious, well, you're automatically running in automated process while your mind's writing a story. I remember that you like these smart, sassy type heroines, don't you?
I want the heroines to be intelligent. I want people to be able to relate to them. I don't want to have them being led around by other people or whatever happens. I want them to have agency. It's a lot more interesting to write. It's a lot more interesting to read. And I think, you know, at this point in time, people really want intelligent characters.
Oh, cracky. There's a huge increase in not just in this, you know, being sort of intelligent characters, but in detective, you know, female heroes in detective stuff, you know, not your sort of weepy, full, you know, bursting into tears at the drop of the handkerchief either. But there is a general increase in the whole female protagonist, hero, whatever you want to call it. And like yourself, you know, not the normal people, not the sort of weeping violets, shall I say, you know.
right, exactly. And you know what I kind of like? When the heroine gets to rescue the hero a little bit.
Yeah.
Like not completely, but, you know, just give them a little bit of a reason there.
Yeah.
So I think it's a lot more fun to write, definitely, and hopefully a lot more fun to read.
I tell you, I'm not going to tell people to give away my secrets now. The last 2 and a bit weeks, I have become totally hooked and binge-watched an Australian soap about the Australian Navy. And, of course, being the Navy, there are, I think it's Sea Patrol or something like that. Being the Navy, of course, there's 3 or 4 females, on the second in command and the navigator and stuff like that. And they're treated as equals, you know, and they have their own leads in some programs and not in others. And I think it's great. It's real life because that's how it is these days.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you don't have to get political in your stories, but I do think it's important to recognize what is going on at the time and reflect that. Because the easiest way to date a book is to put the characters in situations where they would never do it today what they are doing in your book.
Yeah, totally agree.
You know, I write contemporary romance, and it has to. I don't necessarily want to pin a specific date on it, but I don't want it to be kind of lost in time, or, oh, she's writing, you know, way too, you know, way too far back for what people, what women, what men are doing now.
Yeah, I ran into an issue in my YA where he got a Xbox, you know, the young teenager got given an Xbox or something like that, you know, as a gift sort of thing. And of course, or he, it was just that his parents had just got a mobile phone. Not that everybody got one now, you know. It's, and it catches you out when you do stuff like that. You forget it, and you need to sort of, how can I say, not dumb it down, but make it less descriptive what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, a gift, something or other, you know. But yeah, so it does catch you, as I found out.
It really does.
In my era.
It does. One of my books, A Heart of Little Faith, I republished it. So I went through and I had to, you know, re-edit it and self-published it. And I had to go and update it because there were things, you know, people don't take taxis anymore. They call a rideshare.
Oh,
or
yeah.
They, you know, they don't use a payphone. They use their mobile phone and they use an app. And, they, you know, there's just like little tiny things, or, you know, who has an answering machine? It's all, you know, voicemail or whatever. And it's just little tiny things that I never would have thought of, that as I was going through, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have to at least update this. Even if I keep it a generic name and don't specify exactly what it is, just so people realize, oh, hello, okay, this is taking place today and not 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think that I got one thing where they put a record player on. Kids these days, what's a record player? along the way, I mean, you know, through these books, was you say 11, 13, was it? I can't remember what you said now. But you have had... You've had pretty good success along the way, including some nominations and stuff like that. I guess you've got a bit of a following now, have you?
I am starting to get a following. It's really nice. I hear from readers and they say, oh, you know, I'm waiting for your next book, or I just pre-ordered your book because I'm, you know, looking forward to reading your next one. And I do have a number of, you know, a nice little following, and it's been really gratifying.
Good, great. Well, I'm glad, hopefully, they've been waiting for this new one, which is A Reckless Heart, where we have another sort of, well, she's a society girl, but, you know, she's got a bit of issue, well, not just an issue, she puts herself into trouble standing up for somebody and gets herself into more trouble, I guess, along the way.
Yes, I like to call this book, it's The Kardashians Meet Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
Because it's a very quick way of describing it.
Right.
The heroine, the book is called A Reckless Heart. The heroine, Meg, is a former society it girl, and she was kind of a publicist for, you know, pseudo-celebrities. And she hung with that kind of crowd, and yes, she did get herself into trouble, and she stuck up for a friend and took blame for things, and now she's trying to rebuild her life and kind of get free from that stigma and from that punishment.
Right, and of course, this was it. Simon is the male one, yeah. But he doesn't quite know how to take her, does he? Or how does he?
No. when I created him, he is he lives kind of in like a compound, like an estate compound. So there was, you know, the main house, and there's the guest house and the servants' quarters, and the main house burned down in and his family was killed, and he was scarred very badly.
Ah, so the beast, that's the beast, right, got it.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So, but he has, like, a little cottage on the property that he rents out, and he told his, you know, realtor, you can rent it out to anyone as long as they're, you know, middle-aged and they're going to be quiet. And the realtor doesn't listen and rents it out to Meg, who is young and pretty and, you know, friendly. And he does not know what to do because he's used to being by himself. And all of a sudden there's this, you know, very pretty woman who he is trying to avoid and, of course, can't.
Right. Now, one of the things that I often wonder about people like yourself who do a lot of these sort of romance type books is the names. Do the names just come to you, or do you sort of think of somebody or see somebody with that name and it just seems to fit?
A little bit of both, actually. Sometimes I do a lot of research to find the right name. For my Jewish romances, I will try to find biblical names just because it's a way of indicating to the reader that this is a certain type of book versus, you know, it's an easy clue to give without knocking them on the head.
Right.
Other times when the characters start talking to me, they tell me what their name is.
Right.
Baby books come in handy because they tell you what the meaning of the names are.
Yep.
So if I'm looking for a particular, you know, if I want a certain feel or meaning to a name, I will, you know, look it up to see what there is. I'll look for different time periods because depending on how old the character is, what kind of name was popular back when they were born. So I'm not calling, you know, someone a name that would never have existed then.
Yes. It's like I had somebody on the show who did an historical romance and it had the name Wendy in it. And I had to tell him that the name Wendy wasn't invented until he wrote Peter Pan, because he created the name just for Peter Pan. And I'm not sure what they did, but they were so shocked. I thought they were going to, you know, have to rewrite the book with replace that name or something. But yes, Lewis Carroll invented Peter Pan. But whatever. Wendy. Yeah, it didn't exist. Didn't exist before he wrote it. But, I know these stupid things like that.
but I love that kind of information.
It's like the color orange didn't exist. Nobody, you know, somebody made it up. Oh, this thing, this bright fruit, let's call it orange. That sounds a nice word. You know, I forgot, but it was like the sort of a rough pronunciation of a bright fruit or something, you know. And that was and then the colour came from that, etc. Oh yeah, stupid things like that. We had, you know, with all the virus going on and everything. What my family do is every other week we have a Zoom quiz on a Sunday. It's 4 o'clock my time because they're in England, you know. But we all get on for 30 minutes and take it in turns to run a quiz. And it means I actually see more of my family now. And I thought I was living in the country sort of thing. But yeah, so there's everybody tries to come up with most weird and wonderful questions.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, it is. So I have to hunt for these questions.
Absolutely.
Oh, right. The book, when did it come out?
A Reckless Heart comes out Monday the 29th.
Monday the 29th, that's right. That's COVID in vaccination 2 day for me. But
same as my husband.
Yeah? All right, well, let's hope. I mean, I'm hearing more people have a little bit of reaction to the second, but you never know. Yeah.
It's your body doing what it's supposed to do.
Of course it is. It's like people, I remember people used to get the injections for chickenpox or German measles or whatever, and if they had a bad reaction, it meant that if they'd have had it, caught it, they'd have caught it badly. I think that's
exactly.
Yeah. So if I have a bad reaction, it means I'm lucky to get the vaccination. To me, but anyway, never mind about that. So you got the book out and everything like that. How I notice this book does not have people on the front, but normally you have a couple.
Yes. So when I submit a manuscript to my publisher, the Wild Rose Press, I submit the manuscript. They send me a contract, providing they want the book, and then they send me an art sheet, and I fill out all kinds of information about the characters, the plot, any symbolic references in the book, the time period, the setting, the whole thing. And I love the cover artist that I've been given. Mm-hmm. I can request to have the same one, or I can request someone different. The previous books that I published with them, they do have people on the cover.
Yeah.
And because this is the first book in a new series, I wanted it to be different and I wanted it to stand out.
There you go. Now we know it's the first in a new series. Weren't you with...
So they ended up giving me a different cover artist, but she came up with this cover, and I was in love with it. So I don't know what she's going to do about the next three books, but that's her problem, not mine.
Weren't you with some Rose Press or something like that? Were you with
them? I'm currently with Wild Rose Press.
That's right, yeah.
I used to be with Rebel Inc.
Okay, I remember something about Rose. Anyway, okay, you said, people listening, hope you picked up on this, people, three others. Does that mean you've already sort of got three in the pipeline or done, or how are we doing with
the
next one?
I write ahead. So I have, this is a 4-book series. I have all of the books written in some semblance of something. So book 2, I'm just about to submit to them. Book 3 is still with my critique partners. They're going to take a look at it and let me know what they think. Book 4 is still in the it needs something phase.
Right.
So, but they're all written, and I figure I'll submit them approximately every 6 months. Mm-hmm. So they'll come out approximately every 6 months from each other. So hopefully that will work.
That's great. So, you said it's a new series. Is it the same characters or just a new series as in the type of relationship?
So, the series follows four men who were college buddies. And they have all become very successful in their various careers. So successful that they have more money than they know what to do with. So they have formed an investment company where they take money and they use it for good.
Oh, right.
To help other people. So they figure out they invest in a therapy garden. Mm-hmm. In a town for a reckless heart, or they help with coding for kids to teach kids how to code and use computers.
Mm-hmm.
Or a senior living facility or something that they, you know, feel is worthwhile. And it's usually based on the woman that they meet and what she is involved in.
Do you find it hard not to, if you're writing something, not to slip into a situation that you've written about before?
Not a situation, but sometimes I need to find a new way to describe something, or I need to find different characteristics for my particular characters. But no, because the characters are very different. So it's not that hard.
And of course, they're talking to you anyway and telling you about the stuff. So
exactly.
So yeah, you know, it's straight from the hero's mouth.
Right. And you know what? And if I miss something and it starts to sound familiar, I have three other critique partners who are fantastic, and they always look at what I write and they'll tell me, "This sounds familiar. You might
write
that." And they're like, "Oh, right. Okay, I need to change that."
That is great. That is great. Well, it's been great catching up with you and seeing the success of you've had and everything. And of course, the new book and the new series, I'm sure it's going to be equally as successful. But what I'm going to do now, as time is getting on, is to hand the show over to you so you can tell us all where people can find out more about you, your previous books, and of course your new book.
Thank you so much. I really loved being here. I love talking to anybody, and I love catching up with readers and having them talk to me. So the best place to find me is my website, which is www.jenniferwilk.com. I'm also on Facebook, and I'm always talking to readers there. And it's also Jennifer Wilk. So if you do a search for that, you can find me there. I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram as well.
Well, Jennifer,
and
go ahead.
Yeah. No, and you can find all my books, and, you know, please ask me questions, talk to me, you know, I'm happy to chat.
And if you've got a copy out there of Seduction of Esther, let us know, because
I would love to know.
There you go. Anyway, Jennifer, thank you so much for being a guest. It's been great catching up with you. Perhaps when the next one comes out, you come back and chat to us again.
I would love to. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Jennifer Wilk. J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, and Wilk is W-I-L-C-K. So put those together, jennifervilk.com, and you'll find out more about her. It's got about her books, it's got about her new book, it's got all sort of news and stuff like that on that. So look up that, jennifervilk.com. That's it. I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh guest. I'm just going to try and check. Jonathan M. Goldman. I can't remember what he's written now, but he will be my guest tomorrow. So until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget. Make sure it's working.